Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Today's message is called God's Intent. We're going to go to Genesis, the first chapter, the 27th to 28th verses, and then we'll go to the second chapter, the 8th through 10th verses. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Then in the second chapter, verses 8 through 10, now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, we all love the creation story with its idyllic imagery of that garden and trees and all the wild and beautiful abundance that God produced as humankind's first and best home, the ultimate good life. Try to imagine this perfect scene of nature with lush vegetation and a river that runs throughout, all created for our pleasure and put under our authority and care. This is paradise. So this morning, for just a few minutes, I'd like to flesh out some of the creation story just to see what God had in mind for us. If we don't look closely at the story, every once in a while, we may forget God's original intent. You know, we usually start this story with Adam and Eve, and that's not a bad place to start because we need to be reminded of what we've become, deeply flawed beings, sinful. How did we get into this messy predicament? That story tells us. But this morning, I want to look beyond that story before the fall. Because if we don't go back to the beginning, we run the risk of restricting our image to the serpent and sin, the lowest of what we are. And that turns God into this universal police, the stern watcher, the judge and jury of our conduct, the nagging voice that spoils all the fun. Now, in fact, God is a God of judgment, but to relegate God to that single role is to severely limit not only God, but also our own spiritual growth. How we see God obviously affects how we see ourselves. Too often we let the limitations of our lives control our image of God, as opposed to letting God control how we should live our lives. So if we start to investigate this story before the fall, it'll help us understand the nature of God just a little bit more. And that is vitally important because to grow in our relationship with God, we need always to reach for a clearer understanding of who God is. Now, we know God is greater than we can imagine, bigger than we can describe. The Bible teaches us that God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing, immutable, unchanging. But this part of the creation story in the Garden of Eden tells us something else about God. And the attribute revealed here in the very beginning is one of the most important. God created humankind in his image, male and female. And then the very next thing God does, according to this text, God blessed them. God creates, then God blesses. God's original intent is to bless. What is a blessing? The bestowal of a gift, God's desire of the best. In effect, the source of humankind is a blessing. We are the result of a blessing. Think about that. Think about your life. Birth is a blessing. Your very life is a blessing. Love is a blessing. Salvation is a blessing. Jesus stepped into humanity to save us. Salvation is God's way of transforming us to the best we can be. That's a blessing. The Bible reminds us that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Blessings are God's tangible touch in and through our lives, the way we can experience God and God's goodness. When you stop and count your blessings through the people in your life, through your experiences, through your gifts and talents and your potential, you can begin to see that we live in the midst of abundant blessings. Even in the most challenging of circumstances, you can think about how blessed you are. Now, most times we actually fail to recognize our blessings. We are usually so distracted by the messes in the world, the messes in our lives, that we don't take the time to see the gifts that God has given us. At its highest, a blessing of God turns full face to the recipient to impart the ultimate good. God creates to bless. God didn't create because God was lonely or God wanted to rule. God created to bless because God is good. We say that, but do we really think about its meaning? I like to get up in the morning and just start my day really praising God for how good God is. You know, when we say God is good, we're referring to the loving and liberal disposition in the management of God's goods. In other words, this is how God rolls. It's simply the way God is. It's God's nature. Usually when we talk about people who are good, we always have a qualifier. She's good when. He's good if. They're good but. But God is good by his own essence. In other words, there is nothing but good in God. He gives out goodness, and according to the psalmist, he gives in joy and gladness. So this entire creation is a blessing. God blesses as he creates. Now let's go back to the text. God has planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. But in the middle of the garden, there's the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God blessed humanity with so many fascinating things in the Garden of Eden, put there to fulfill all the needs and desires of humanity, as manifested through Adam and his offspring. In the middle of the garden were two remarkable trees, one the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. Now, God is very clear in his instructions. He says, Adam, you can eat anything here, but don't eat from the tree of knowledge. Why was Adam forbidden to eat from that tree? Well, there are volumes of books and theories. I don't know personally. I know that as a parent, there are plenty of times when I tell my son, do it because I say so. That's what my mother said to me. She said, I don't have to give you an explanation for everything. I'm the mother. I'm the parent. And I learned, like my son learned, the hard way, that was good enough. But here's the part we don't pay enough attention to. God didn't say anything about not eating from the tree of life. God intended for Adam and Eve, humanity, to enjoy the fruit of the tree of life at will. According to the books of Proverbs and Revelation, the tree of life symbolizes wisdom and joy and healing and eternity. It was only after their disobedience that they were restricted from this tree. But God's original intent, the blessing of eternity. You see, humankind blocked that blessing. We were so busy making the wrong choices that we missed the blessings. Think of it as collateral damage. When you sin, you don't just mess up the situation directly in front of you. You mess up stuff all around. You block blessings you're not even aware of. I've found that people who talk most about blocked blessings are some evangelist on television who are a part of prosperity theology. And that's not what I'm talking about. This is not about any kind of monetary compensation. Blessings are not blocked by God. We block our own blessings. We create the collateral damage. Blocks can be emotional, spiritual, or physical issues. Anything that prevents us from receiving the promises and blessings of God. We are not open, focused, aware of. We're too distracted. There are a myriad of ways of blocking your blessings. Here's one that I want you to think about today. Unforgiveness. It's one of the biggest blocks to blessings. It's our inability to let go of stuff. I read a theory somewhere that said 90% of all the health, marital, family, and financial problems are directly connected to unforgiveness. There's a lot of that in our homes, in our churches, and in our hearts. But Jesus said you gotta forgive over and over and over again. And when you don't, you are blocking blessings. The miracle of forgiveness is it makes room for God's grace to flow through you. That is a blessing. And it's not only a blessing for the person that you forgive, it's a blessing for you. Because you begin to see that blessings are all connected. There are no blessings that flourish in a vacuum. Blessings are like love. Their reach is outward. Once you've been blessed, you bless somebody else. That is God's original intent. Be blessed. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign.